Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Jonathan Manor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 37th chapter. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he had told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That's not fair. It's the cry of the child to the parents, the complaint of the student to the teacher, the call from the stands to the umpire, even the conversation from one coworker to the other over who got the praise, who got the pat on the back, and who got the promotion. That's not fair. It may begin with annoyance and disbelief, but it can quickly lead to envy and jealousy and hatred in the heart. So it was with 17-year-old Joseph and his brothers. A bad report from Joseph about his brothers to his father brought annoyance and disbelief. But then they saw him in that robe of many colors. That robe that was a sign of their father's love for Joseph. And that annoyance quickly became anger and hatred. So much so that we're told they could not speak peacefully to him. Then came the dreams. The first dream where the brothers' sheaves bowed down to Joseph's, and they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then came the second dream where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to Joseph, and his brothers were now jealous of him. Envy and jealousy and hatred. And it led to these brothers conspiring against him to kill him, saying, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits." More on that next Monday with the rest of Genesis 37. The thoughts of the mind, the words of the mouth, the deeds that follow, all begin with "it's not fair." Movement from annoyance to envy and jealousy and hatred, and the actions that follow. From Cain and Abel, to Joseph and his brothers, to so many others throughout the days of the scriptures and throughout the pages of history, right up to our present day. The pattern continues in our world, in our communities, in our relationships, and as much as we don't want to admit it, in our own hearts as well. James puts it this way, chapter 3. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. How clearly we see these things, right? And the effects that they have, we see them in the news every day, in our world and in our communities, and we experience it even in our own lives. Envy and jealousy that lead to disorder in every vile practice. And oh, how Satan loves to see it. He loves to see that sin run rampant as envy and jealousy and hatred take over as we fall to that temptation of thinking and saying and acting out when we think it's not fair. Satan started that temptation in the garden. It's not fair that God should keep you from eating of the fruit of that tree. Just look at it. Look how good it looks. And it's a wonderful fruit, and you deserve to have it and all that comes with eating it. Throughout the ages, he's stuck with that same temptation. He tells us it's not fair. You deserve it, not someone else. You have the right to take it, no matter who gets hurt in the process. You're entitled to have it, no matter the cost to others, whatever that it might be. We see this pattern repeating itself in history, in friendships and families, even in our own internal turmoil. And it leads to struggle and strife and battles and broken relationships, and as James says, disorder and every vile practice. But James doesn't leave it there. He goes a little further. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So how do we get there? How do we begin to speak peacefully to one another again? How do you make peace in a world of disorder and vile practice, in a world filled with envy and jealousy and hatred? How do you make peace when the envy and the jealousy and the hatred of others has been directed at you? How do you make peace when you find your own heart filled with that same envy and jealousy and hatred? Well, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you go to the foot of the cross, right here, the foot of the cross with a repentant heart. You go there to the one who stood among fearful and doubting disciples in that locked upper room on Easter morning and again a week later, Easter evening and again a week later, and brought to them those precious words that were a true reality in their lives. Peace be with you. That word of peace came to them after their Lord and Savior was willing to accept the envy and the jealousy and the hatred from his enemies. That word of peace came to them after their Lord and Savior endured the mocking and the beating and the spitting and the nailing, all coming from envy and jealousy and hatred. That word of peace came to them after he died for every time that we've acted in disorder and vile practice, every time that our thoughts and words and deeds have been filled with envy and jealousy and hatred. That word of peace came to the disciples after their Lord and Savior rose from the dead, overcoming sin and Satan and death for you. That same word of peace is yours today. Sin separated Joseph and his brothers. Sin separates us from one another. Sin separates us from our Heavenly Father. But thanks be to God, it's not fair. No, it's not. Because the wrath we deserved, because of our envy and jealousy and hatred, was poured out on our Lord and Savior Jesus. He died the death we deserved, and he was raised to life again. In his death and resurrection, forgiveness is yours, a restored relationship with your Heavenly Father is yours, and peace is yours. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.